This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. It's one of the most common causes of aviation accidents, and absolutely the most preventable. So when fuel exhaustion happens to someone like renowned aerobatic pilot and Hall of Fame member Sean Tucker, the aviation world takes notice. Tucker says he's embarrassed by his off-airport landing on a California highway earlier this week, and it wouldn't have happened if he'd taken the simple and standard precaution of dipping the fuel tank. He also says he's learned from the experience, and he'll never go flying again without making sure he has as much fuel as he thinks he has.
Okay, Sean, so what happened?
It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon. I had just finished a photo flight with Plane and Pilot, myself and the rest of my team, the collaborators, Eric Tucker on my left wing, Ben Freelove, who teaches at my academy, on the right wing, and Bill Stein in the slot, and we're heading home. We had done a shot over the foothills of San Luis Obispo Reservoir and close to Big Sur. It was just a beautiful evening. We're heading home, and I noticed that I felt a surge in my engine, like just a very temporary loss of power. And I looked down and I saw that my fuel pressure gauge was in the red, was blinking, and I was getting a low fuel pressure. Hit the fuel pump, it turned green again, and then I was thinking maybe I had lost a fuel pump. But when that happened, I had to separate the team, sent Ben and Eric away from me. Bill stayed as my safety, and I was just south of the King City Airport, and I knew there was a problem. What was the problem, I didn't know yet, but the engine was surging, so I went ahead and decided that the best option is to land under power immediately. So Bill, acting as my safety pilot, I was about approximately 3,000 feet, acting as my safety pilot, we saw the 101 North was clear. It's the US 101, it's a highway, clear for 3 miles to 4 miles from where we wanted to land. And so he covered the traffic, and I looked for power lines as I was circling down, and found a good spot, landed the airplane, pulled over to the side of the road, and within probably 8 minutes, we pushed the airplane off the side of the road. Probably 8 minutes, Highway Patrol came and said, "What are you doing here?" Well, the last thing I want to be is on a freeway, but with a disabled airplane, or potentially a disabled airplane, I didn't want to be in the sky anymore, and I didn't want to risk it flying home. Subsequent to that, we found out that we had changed my header tank, which is an aerobatic tank inside the main fuel tank, and which allowed it to have more volume going into it. But by doing that, it creates kind of an air pocket. So when I was filling up the aircraft for the photo flight, it was we planned a 45-minute to an hour flight, and planned to have plenty of fuel for the flight, plus at least 30 to 45 minutes reserved to get back. I was fueling up the tank, and on the tank, which has been foolproof over the years, is I have a clear tube that I can read the amount of fuel going in, and there's numbers alongside the tank, and it's been just super accurate. In fact, we use that for when I'm flying air shows, whether I want 10 gallons, 11 gallons, or 12 gallons. The tank holds 34.7 gallons. And when the fuel goes to where you can't see it anymore, to the top of the tank, it's full, or used to be. Well, this time it wasn't. And I've never had a problem like this before. This time was short a substantial amount of fuel. In fact, probably 9.8 gallons short. And so the decision I made was a correct one. Could I have made the airport? Maybe. But I really felt that since I was under power, I had control of options, and that's what you need. And this was, I would consider, an emergency. I took my best option, and I landed on a clear freeway, no power lines, wasn't a hazard to traffic, people on the ground. had my crew call them on the phone, had my crew get some more fuel, came back, filled it up, hired patrol, did some checking to see if it was, I guess, with the FAA and the NTSB, they made some calls if we could take off. They got clearance for me to take off, ran the engine up, everything was functional, fuel pressure was great, took off and landed at the airport. So it was very uneventful, but I learned some big lessons from it. And the lessons are, number one, is there's always something that's going to get you. Even though for years I have been just filling my tank to where I no longer see the fuel when I'm on a trip, I neglected to think, because this is a new fuel system, to really, really be careful about that. And I just considered it was, in fact, I didn't even think about it. I just filled it up like I normally do.
So you don't dip the tanks before you fly?
Well, from now on, I'm going to. I guarantee you, from now on, and that's what was a big wake-up call for me. Assuming, because it always worked before for the last 20 years, I don't do that anymore. And for sure, it's that extra effort is certainly well worth it. In fact, I'm going to not only dip the tanks, I'm going to make sure when I'm heading to Andrews Air Force Base tomorrow to fly with the team, and as we're going across the country, I'm going to fill it, dip the tank, put my fingers in as well to make sure.
Okay, have you ruled out any sort of systemic fault in the fuel system? Like, where's the bubble? How does that work?
Well, my guys, what they did is, and I'm not the mechanic, what my guys did is took the whole system apart the next morning, and they replumbed it and tested it, and just the way the lines were, I think, is how it was sitting is when they put in where the flop tube is where the lines were, it created a bubble. And so we retested it the next day, and it's fine again. But this was an anomaly. This time, it got me. So for sure, when I'm filling up and I want a full tank of gas, I'm going to dip them, put my fingers in to make sure it's full, and then climb up on the wing and look down into the tank too to make sure. It was a big lesson. Also, to better read the numbers, we had a green tube that really showed up the numbers, how much we had in there. But in the late afternoon, it's kind of hard to read. So now we have a clear tube. Even though it's harder to see the numbers when you're filling it up, you can see the fuel level a little bit easier. And I have a digital system as well. We call it a fuel calculator. But I put that information in, and I put the information in that I had 34.7 gallons. If you don't have the right information, you put the wrong information in, it doesn't work. And so you're right. I'm going to dip every single time.
What do you have to say to the people who are your fans and pilots all over America about running out of gas, Sean? Do people like you have to set a higher standard?
I think we all have to have a high standard. And I really try to hold myself to a high standard so that, you know, I'm in a very dangerous business. And flying air shows, margins are very, very narrow. And sometimes you lose sight of the mundane when you work on this level. I always felt that I was careful. I always felt that I try to always do it correctly, but no matter how good a pilot you are, no matter how skilled you are, you can't leave one stone unturned to make sure every flight is successful. And this is a lesson for me. It's a wake-up call for me. It's the start of the air show season. It's a lesson for my whole team. And we worked so hard, and I've probably practiced. I've only flown one show, and I've already practiced maybe 250 times my solo act. And I've practiced. Today was the 64th practice flight with my team to make sure we're righteous. And going on a mundane photo flight, well briefed, takes an hour to brief it. And then for me, when I'm filling up my own airplane with my team there, and I make that kind of, which was a flaw in my process, is a wake-up call. And I need to hold myself, even if it's just an A to B flight, you can't take it for granted. And that was what I seriously learned on this. And I need to hold myself to a high standard. And I think all of us as aviators, we're all in this together, because I have a higher profile than maybe somebody who just flies on the weekend. I really cannot abuse that privilege, and I have certainly learned from this one. Could I have made it to the airport? Maybe. But I knew that that was abusing the privilege even more. You know, that didn't even enter my mind. I want to save my machine. I want to save my life, and I don't want to put anybody at risk on the ground. And so I made the decision to land on that freeway because it was perfect. And when you make a decision, you got to live by the decision. Could I have landed it at my airport? I probably had enough, maybe. But I'm not into maybes. I don't like those margins. I know if it's a nice wide freeway and there's nobody there, that's a pretty long runway. And that was the decision I made, because I felt that was the most prudent decision versus risking and being uncertain of reaching the airport to make sure you do it. So there's a couple lessons there. I'm very proud that I feel I made the right decision. Am I embarrassed? Absolutely. But I would rather be talking to you on the phone right now with an intact aircraft that I can and learn from my lesson, and I can go to work the next day, than a broken airplane or me being in the hospital or my wife going to my funeral. And so you can't ever let pride get in the way of your decision-making processes when it comes to safety. And I certainly have learned a lesson here.
Well, good luck on your trip tomorrow. And I guess all's well that ends well, hey?
Well, all's well that ends well. My team did a great job when they separated from me. We've been working real hard for the show coming up. I'm looking forward to the air show season. I had a blast at Sun and Fun. And I just really love my job, and I love the opportunity. But it's a long flight across this country. You know, we're going to be fighting weather here and there. But this is really start of the year, wake-up call to do it right every single time.
Okay, is this going to end up as part of the curriculum at the Flight Academy?
Absolutely. It's a curriculum in your life. You know, I have 23,000 hours of flight time, and I've dedicated my life to the art form of aerobatic flying. In the Academy, we stress safety. And we stress maturity, humility, and the whole works to be better pilots. And then for me to be the spokesman for that academy, and then I didn't do, like you said, dip the tanks, because it had always worked before that the fuel's always full when it goes to the top. I'm disappointed in that. But yes, absolutely. And I would talk to anybody about this, any pilot group about this. It's just another wake-up call that nobody's immune from the gotchas in aviation, period.
This has been Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.